today's international report, we stay in Ukraine, where since the start of the war in the east of the country in 2014, some 1.5 million people have been internally displaced, fleeing the conflict in the eastern regions. Ukraine is the ninth largest country in the world in terms of the number of internally displaced persons, also known as IDPs. While their status as IDPs guarantees them certain rights, resettlement status comes with many problems in Ukraine. Insufficient support from the state and complicated procedures mean IDPs struggle with a lack of information about their rights and face many socioeconomic challenges. Philip Warwick has more on this fourth report in a five-part series from Kiev.
In the hustle and bustle of Ukraine's capital, Kiev, I meet Olga Ivanova. She's Operations Director for Stabilization Support Services, a Ukrainian-Canadian charitable fund. The NGO's focus is to increase the ability of national and local government in Ukraine to help internally displaced persons, or IDPs, integrate into hosting communities. She says the protracted character of the displacement means discrimination against IDPs is still an issue.
We see that these problems which IDPs face, they become less of interest for Ukrainian society, for decision makers, for policy makers. And of course, with every new turn of the conflict, every new challenge Ukraine faces, this still remains the painful obstacle for IDPs to feel part of Ukrainian hosting communities.
Due to the bureaucratic nature of Ukrainian law, NGOs say this is leading to a human rights crisis, where IDPs feel treated as second-class citizens or living in limbo. They face long delays in accessing basic services such as child or disability benefits, obtaining a passport, state IDs, or their pension. The Ukrainian Parliament's priority regarding IDPs accessing their pensions appears to be low on their agenda. Olga Ivanova.
For instance, we also see the lack of interest to the problems related of the most vulnerable category, elderly people. Those who try to start new life in hosting communities, they are very often deprived of pension payments.
В 16-й годині всіх прошу зайти в зал. Я продовж. Я зупиніться. Я скажу. Колеги, зупиніться.
Perhaps the reluctance on the part of the Ukrainian authorities to give the matter their full attention derives from their indifference towards IDPs, who come from the eastern regions of Ukraine, an area historically known for voting pro-Russian candidates. This is echoed by Olga Ivanova.
And we hear that it's not a big problem and it's very dangerous to allow IDPs to vote because they will vote for Yanukovych or for some pro-Russian candidates. Nothing can change the mind of people who say this, even the fact that these people live in hosting communities and pay local taxes for years.
So does Olga feel the government in Kiev has failed IDPs across the country?
My only concern is that we're losing a lot of time, which can be invested into building Ukrainian society more cohesive. In spite of a lot of declarations to solve these problems and to find solutions and all the obligations of Ukraine at the international arena, we haven't seen much progress there. So I can say not about failure, but of course about some lost possibilities for these 5 years.
Some 700 kilometers east of Kiev are the offices of Responsible Citizens, a Ukrainian NGO run by Olga Kosa. The organization provides help to the most vulnerable and assists IDPs in frontline towns and villages. With the first round of the Ukrainian presidential elections just a few days away, Olga says most of the election platforms of the candidates barely touch on the situation of IDPs.
All of the presidential candidates don't have in their election program anything about the protection of internally displaced people's rights. Furthermore, none of them have declared any interest in protecting the rights of IDPs prior to the presidential election campaign. It seems that if we were to look for a candidate who is interested in the protection of IDP rights, there are none.
And is Olga Kosa optimistic or pessimistic looking at Ukraine's post-election future?
Ну, у меня в краткосрочной перспективе я вижу только пессимистические.
Looking at the short-term outlook, I can only see pessimistic change and perhaps a collapse towards which we are heading as a result of the past 5 years. Unfortunately, the country finds itself in deep economic crisis. People are not only finding it difficult to live, but actually they are trying to survive.
Просто нормально жить, они не живут, они выживают.
The outlook is shared by Olga Ivanova.
Tens of thousands of people who die just being abandoned by the state, being let down by all the politicians who promised them peace, who promised them decent standards of living, to whom they were voting for. And of course, I would like to see some progress on all these issues.
With the complicated setup of the legal system, often results in IDPs fending for themselves. The Ukrainian parliament and its politicians have so far shown notable apathy in terms of taking real measures and alleviating the pervasive bureaucracy and corruption of state institutions. As a result of this, volunteers from local and international NGOs are left to pick up the pieces and provide most of the support to IDPs in Ukraine. Philip Warwick for RFI, Kyiv, Ukraine.